Thank you, ladies. And if you'll bear with us, we've been having some sound problems, and our men are trying to get everything adjusted. And so if you'll bear with us, we'd appreciate that. Thank you, ladies, for the special this morning. Oh, when he comes again. Not going to be any more Calvary. Let me tell you something. Let me give you some pastoral advice. When Jesus comes again, he is not a happy camper. Okay? The first time he came for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The next time he comes, he's not very happy. Matter of fact, he's a little irritated. But let me tell you something. When he comes back and actually sets his foot on this earth again, there's not going to be a democracy. It's not going to be a republic. It's going to be a monarchy. One ruler over all the earth. And you know what? Nobody's going to have a say-so. We don't get to vote. Not going to be a say-so. He's just going to say it, and that's the way it's going to be. I kind of like that. You know, if you're a child of God, you're going to be a part of that. You're going to be a part of being in the kingdom of Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. No kingdom's ever lasted 1,000 years. Not even come close. And yet he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. What a great day that's going to be. Take your Bible this morning, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, if you'll join me there. In Acts chapter 20, we're going to begin reading in verse number 17, and we're going to read down through verse number 27. Now, while you're turning there, let me bring you up to speed about where we are in this particular chapter. The Apostle Paul has now spent the majority of his saved life in missions work. He's gone from town to town and place to place. Listen, he has been opposed in every way that you can possibly imagine. He's been opposed. He's been stoned. He's been jailed. He's had everything you can possibly imagine happen to him. You know the amazing thing? That rascal's still serving God. I mean, he's still just as happy serving the Lord and giving out and doing the things of God. And so he's heading now. His purpose is to head to Jerusalem and be there with the believers in Jerusalem. Now, the thing about it is he knew that what he was about to face in Jerusalem would probably be the end of his ministry. He knew that, and yet he was still determined that he was bound to go to Jerusalem. But before he went, he began to stop off at some locations and to commune with those that he had led to Christ, churches that he had started, and basically it was his farewell tour. And he was going from church to church and place to place saying, listen, probably not going to see y'all again. This is probably the end of my ministry, because when I go to Jerusalem, they're not going to be very happy with me there. They know me. That's kind of my old stomping grounds. And when they find me, it's probably going to be the end. So I just want to thank y'all for all your prayers. I want to thank you for everything. And this is kind of his farewell tour. One of the places that he stopped off just prior to heading back was a city by the name of Ephesus. And that's where we pick up our reading this morning. If you'll stand with me and begin reading, if you would, follow along silently as I read aloud, Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things moved me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now I want you to go back, if you would, to verse number 20, which will be our text verse. And I want you to notice what the apostle said. He said, this is my farewell tour. This is my thanks for all that you've done. So I'm going to Jerusalem, probably never to return. Probably never to see you again. We'll probably not have fellowship again until we meet and have that wonderful fellowship in the sky one day. But he said, I want to tell all of you people here. Verse 20, he said, I kept back nothing. He said, I kept back nothing. And I want to take this verse this morning and these passages of Scripture, and I want to preach to you on the subject, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Father, bless us now as we learn from the Bible. Teach us, we pray, from your servant, the Apostle Paul, probably, in my opinion, the greatest Christian outside of Jesus Christ ever recorded in the New Testament. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless us and help us to learn as he taught these dear people and communicated to them some important truths. We pray that you'd bless us, and Lord, I pray that every person this morning, that their heart and spirit is open to the preaching of the Word of God. That when we leave this place this morning, that we might know that we've met with God. And that, Lord, that we've been in the house of God, where the Spirit of God has moved. Have your way now, and we'll give all the glory and praise to you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, the Apostle Paul, again, was probably the most dedicated Christian that we have record of in the New Testament. Here he makes a statement that indicates his dedication to his faith in Christ and his personal responsibility to Jesus Christ. Here's the statement he makes. I kept back nothing. He said, everything that I've seen, everything that I've heard, everything that I've learned, I communicated to all of you everything that God has taught me and that God has done in my life since I've been saved. You see, the picture would be here of, if you've ever rode a horse before, they have what they call a reins and a bridle. The reason they put a bridle in the horse's mouth is so that you can pull down and stop the forward momentum. Paul said, you know what? In my Christianity, I took the reins off. I cast the bridle out. He said, I held back nothing. He said, I've been riding this horse bareback. He said, I've been going forward. I've held nothing back whatsoever. You see, to hold back, listen now, is to be uncommitted. To hold back is to be uncommitted in our faith. And to be uncommitted is to cause hurt to yourself and to others. He said, I've kept nothing back whatsoever. Now, he was communicating to the church at Ephesus, which he labored diligently to get a church started there. Now, if you know anything about the Scripture, you can go back and read in Acts chapter 19. It gives us some synopsis, some idea of what the Apostle Paul went through in order to establish the church there in Ephesus. Let me remind you that the Ephesian church was not like Arlington, Texas. When he went into Ephesus, they were idol worshipers. They were anti-God. They were anti-Christian. They were anti-everything that you can imagine that we are for, they were against. And everything about them had to do with worshiping false idols and developing false ideas and false philosophies. How'd you like to go start a church among that group of people? But man, he went there and he started talking to people. He started witnessing to people. He started telling them about the saving grace of God. Matter of fact, when you go back and read Acts chapter 19, the Scripture said he went and spoke in the synagogue for 3 months. He went every day into the church house and began to preach and teach. Listen, folks, you got to understand that so many of these people that lived in Ephesus were Jews. They were just messed up in their philosophy. Can you imagine? Here he goes, and he goes into the church, and he begins to preach something that was absolutely foreign to them. They had never heard this before. You say, how long did he preach? 3 months. How would you like a 3-month revival? He preached 3 months. He stayed in the city 2 years plus. He taught in a school of one called Tyrannus. The Bible says that people were healed of diseases. Now, folks, let me stop and correct something right here. This is where people get the wrong idea about this. You've seen these guys on TV that take a handkerchief and wipe the sweat, and you can buy it for $50 and hang it up over your doorpost, and everybody that walks under that will be healed. Now, you know where they get that idea from? They got that idea from Acts chapter 20. Because, listen, Paul couldn't be everywhere. So you know what they began? They began to take articles, and the Bible said they were healed the same way they were healed when Peter walked through the streets of Jerusalem and just the shadow passing by healed them. Listen, it wasn't Paul doing the healing. It wasn't Peter doing the healing. It was the power of God that was doing the healing through them. And so here he is in Ephesus. People are being healed. The gospel's being preached. People are being saved. And everybody's happy, right? Everybody's excited. Glory to God. The truth has come to us. Thank you, Paul, for being such a gospel preaching preacher. Problem is, there was a man in Ephesus by the name of Demetrius. You know what Demetrius' job was? He was an idol maker. And what he does, that was his business. He would make these little idols, and people would sell them. He'd go and they'd put them up in their house. They'd worship these idols. Now, the thing about it is, Paul's going around and saying that these idols are of the devil. He's going around preaching Jesus, and he said, listen, salvation and worship is not in things, it's in a person. People stopped visiting the idol shops. They stopped buying idols from Demetrius. So you know what he did? He went into all the small business people. He said, listen, we got a problem. He said, this guy keeps opening his mouth. We're going to be out of business in 3 months. He said, we got to shut this guy up. So he began to stir up the city against Paul and some of the disciples. There were two men that the city was stirred up. One of the disciples and followers of Paul was a man by the name of Gaius. The other's name was Aristarchus. And what he did is Demetrius stirred up the whole city. So, listen, go check me out. Some of them got involved in the riot and didn't know what they were rioting for. They had no idea. They said, what we're doing? So we're taking these two Christians to the theater. We're going to feed them to the lions. Yes! Yes! We hadn't seen a good lion eaten in a while. We hadn't seen a good Christian persecuted in a while. Listen now, that was the mentality of these people. That was the mentality. They weren't for God, they were against God. They weren't for Christianity, they were against Christianity. So they go into the theater. Everybody's excited because they're going to see these two people persecuted. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, you know what, Gaius and Aristarchus? He said, they're there in that theater because of me. He said, it's not them they want me. You know what he tried to do? He tried to go into the theater to save them, and the other disciples said, no, if you go in there, they'll kill you. And then we won't have you to preach the gospel. They held him back. Now, just by the grace of God, you'll go and read the story that the riot, the chaos was set at peace. And you know what the mayor basically of the town told him? He said, listen, you got anything against these guys, go to law. That's what the courts are for. He said, we're not going to persecute these guys in public here. Listen, I wonder if he would have gone in there and said that if the influence of Christianity hadn't been in that city. I wonder if he had gone and said that if the influence of the Apostle Paul had not been there. You see, we even have a book in the Bible written by the Apostle Paul to these group of believers called the Book of the Ephesians. You say, what is contained in that book? Oh, some wonderful church doctrine. You say, like what? Like salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know why he taught them that? He taught them that salvation is by grace through faith and not of works, because everything about the Ephesians was performance-based. Everything about their life was about work, 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 work. Do, 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 do. And all of they did, all of their life, was work trying to please their gods. You know what he taught them? He said, that's nonsense. He said, salvation is by grace, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He taught them about salvation by grace, through faith, alone. Listen, he also taught them that God's willing to save Jew and Gentile alike. God can take the Jew and Gentile, save both of them, put them in the same family. And you know what? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, man, we become one big family. Listen, the Ephesians, in their pagan practices, it was therefore no more. They didn't want it. And by the way, the Jews didn't want them. They didn't want the Jews. And yet he said, Jesus came to save all who will come unto him, both Jew and Gentile alike. He reminded the believers that one time he said they were aliens from God. He said, you were separated. You had no hope in this world. Separated from the commonwealth of Israel. He said, you had no hope. You were on your way to hell. He said, oh, but the grace of God was extended. And you know what he said? He said, God was able and willing to save even the worst of you. You say, how bad were they, preacher? Well, some of them were perverts. You know what he's willing to do? He's willing to save them. You see, the thing about it is sometimes when he addressed them, you know what he told them? He said, so were some of you. You say, preacher, can God save anybody? He'll save whosoever will. Yeah. You say, what's the elements of salvation? First, you got to come, and he's going to tell them in just a minute. He said, I came, I held nothing back. He said, you know what I taught? I taught that if you're going to come to Jesus, there's going to be an element of repentance involved. He said, you're going to have to turn from this lifestyle. He said, you can't keep living like this. You can't living in sexual immorality. You can't continue to do this and talk this way. You can't continue to worship idols. He said, you're going to have to come out from among these things. You know what else he told them? He told them salvation gains you access to the heavenly and privileges bestowed by God. Anybody like special privileges? Well, we live in a society today, we think somebody's going to get one up on us, don't we? Let me tell you something. You want to get one up on society? Get saved. Hey, yeah, you know what? You got the privileges. You get one up on people. Why? Because that opens the door to the privileges of God. But he also warns them of falling back into an old lifestyle and habits. And it's important, he said, to separate yourself from those who do not want to come into the family of God. He talked about denying the will of God, and he said, oh, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He says, God has a perfect will for your life. He says, find that perfect will and get in it and get with the program. Then he encourages the Ephesians. You know what he said? He said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, you guys, some of you have lived for the devil for 20, 30, 40 years. He said, you may not have but 10 or 15 years left. He says, listen to me, don't hold anything back. Serving Jesus is worth it. He said, you've served the goddess Diana. You've lived your perverted life. You've lived your paganistic lifestyle. He said, now that Jesus has come in, take the same zeal, take the same effort, and worship the living God with that same excitement. He said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He said, redeem the time. Give God His time now that you're saved. He instructed them how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember He said, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. Oh, by the way, they knew something about drinking also. They understood what drunkenness was. You see, the thing about it is, you ever seen a drunk guy? He's out of his mind. I mean, he's totally out of control over his faculties. He said, you know what? As a child of God, let the Holy Spirit be so upon you that you are out of control when it comes to the spiritual faculties of life. Let the Spirit of God control you. He instructed them how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, and be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And he taught them what the signs were. You know one of the signs of the Holy, of being Holy Spirit filled was? He said that in our hearts, the right music will be there. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He said, you know what? You'll crave the right kind of music. Then he talks about submission to authority. And he talks about all of these things. And then, listen, then he goes on to address family relationships. About husband and wife relationship. And then he comes to, oh, listen to this, young people, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And you know what? He cast a promise on that. He said that your days may be long upon the earth. You see, he taught them, why? Because the Ephesians knew nothing about spiritual authority. They knew nothing about it. Listen, folks, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you what these people are. And it's the same spirit that lives today in America. These people were living together. These people were practicing perverse lifestyles. They were as immoral as you could possibly be. That's the reason he's talking about these things. Look at America today. We're as immoral as we've ever been in the history of our country. But then he warns them to be prepared about Satan's attack. Remember, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. You say, preacher, why is he telling this? Remember, it's his farewell tour. See, guys, next time you see me, we'll meet in the air. Next time you see me, we're going to be dancing around the throne of God. Next time you see me, we're going to be worshiping God. You say, well, preacher, how did the apostle communicate these things? Well, we'll go back to the scripture and let's see, look at it for just a moment. Look at verse number 20. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Notice this. Notice that Paul knew that he had a personal responsibility to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here is how he communicated truth to them. Here's what he did. First of all, he says, but I have shown you. You know what he did? He didn't just talk the talk, my friend. He walked the walk. I don't know if he did this or not, but you know, I'm sure there were some saying, oh, who do you think you are? Yeah, what have you been through? You haven't been through anything. I wonder if he said, ladies, would y'all step out of the room just a minute? And the women stepped out and he took his shirt off. He said, let me show you something here. He said, you see this right here? I didn't get that crossing a barbed wire fence. He said, you see these scars? You see these bumps on my head? He said, you know what happened? Somebody hit me in the head with a rock one day. You see, the thing about it is, folks, he showed them. He didn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk. You know what I'm tired of? Can I just get something off my chest this morning? I'm tired of people who talk Christianity but don't walk it. And you know what he said? He said, I held back nothing. He said, I didn't just talk it, I walked it in front of you. But he lived it by personal example. But look how else he communicated. He says, not only but I have shown you, he said, but I have taught you. He said, I took the truths of the Word of God. And he said, I imparted knowledge concerning God's will. I imparted concerning God's plan. He said, I've told you everything that I know. Everything that I can possibly know. And he says, listen, he knew that these were relatively new believers. They had no education in the Bible. They did not grow. And he knew that if they didn't get educated, didn't grow, there was going to be no commitment. That when he left, you know how long that church would have lasted? No time. Wouldn't have lasted no time. You see, but he showed them by a lifestyle of Christianity. Then he said, I taught them, which was his devotional Christianity. And then notice in verse 21, he said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. He said, I was a witness for Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I was so full of Jesus. He said, I remember. You know how many times Paul recounts his salvation experience in the Bible? Numerous times. He said, I remember that Acts 9, that road to Damascus. Can I say this to you? If you're a child of God, don't ever forget that road to Damascus you were on one day when the Holy Spirit of God convicted you. And he convicted you of sin, and you turned to Jesus Christ, and he gloriously saved your soul that day. Don't ever forget that. The Apostle Paul never forgot his salvation experience. He testified, he witnessed for Jesus Christ. He spoke of his goodness, he spoke of his grace, he spoke of his glory. I'm here to tell you, listen now, Paul said, I kept back nothing, nothing that was profitable to you. Let me give you a few things to think about, and I'm done. First of all, let's go back to the scripture and look at verse number 21. He says, testifying both to you, both to the Jews and to the Greeks also, listen now, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You know one of the things the apostle did not hold back from them? He did not hold back the truth about salvation. I said he did not hold back the truth about salvation. Can I give you a biblical truth? Here it is. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm here to tell you, listen, salvation is not in a plan, it's in a person. You see, forgiveness doesn't have to be of some hierarchy. Forgiveness is of Christ. There's only one way to the throne of God. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. Listen, I've had somebody yesterday, took my Bible, led a couple of ladies to Christ yesterday. You know what? And they were of another denomination. And they were giving me all these excuses. I said, time out! Time out. They said, what do you mean? I said, let me clarify something here right quick to you. I opened my Bible up and I said, you see this right here? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, let me clarify something real quick to you. I said, that's not a Baptist way, a Methodist way, a Catholic way. It's not a denomination. I said, look at me in my eyes. I said, it's Jesus' way. I said, that's what salvation is. I said, you're so caught up in a denominational thing. And by the way, I'm Baptist not only by choice, but by conviction. I'll just throw that out there to you. Now, what I'm saying is, salvation is in a person. It's not in a facility. It's not in water. And Paul said, I held back nothing from it. He said, you know what? I just laid it out on the table. Y'all excuse my reference to my older days. And he said, let the chips fall where they may. You say, what does that mean? Talk to me after church. And then I'll tell you what my favorite candy bar is too while I'm at it. Now listen, Paul said, I didn't hold back the truth of salvation. He said, there's one salvation, listen now, for all. Do you know salvation's not arbitrary? It's not just get to heaven however you want to. And well, I've just been kind of winging it. Boy, I wouldn't want to try to face death like that, would you? Or I wouldn't want to face death and say, well, I hope so. No. According to the scripture here, I can know so. He said, I held back nothing when it came to salvation. You see, he said, one way to obtain salvation, he said, according to the Bible, he said, repentance toward God. And listen, we all get chill bumps and we kind of get a little bit nervous when you start talking about repentance thing. But let me tell you something. You know what the first message John the Baptist preached? Repent! And then Jesus comes on the scene. Somewhere, John the Baptist slipped Jesus his sermon notes. Because you know what the first message that Jesus preached? Repent, or you shall all likewise perish. Now listen to me. You say, preacher, that word repentance, does that mean that I have to confess all the sins that I've ever sinned? Well, if you do, let me know how you figured that out, because I never could. You say, well, then what do I repent of? You repent of not only who you are, but what you are. And you realize that salvation has nothing to do with you. That's the reason he gave the Ephesians verses in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Oh, listen to this. Not of works. See, here's the thing. You got people, you got most of society out there thinking they're going to get to heaven on some performance-based idea. Because they're working, they're doing. And you know what? People are going to die and end up in hell without Christ, and they're going to wonder, wait a minute now, what am I doing here? I did everything my denomination said I was supposed to do. I did everything that I was supposed to. I got baptized, I did this. All of these things. I even gave to the Salvation Army. I don't understand. Listen, follow me here. Most people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Okay? You say, what is that? That's the distance from here to here. They've got all the head knowledge. They know all about God. The problem is they've never trusted God. They've never taken their faith. Repentance is repenting that salvation has anything to do with you, but it all has everything to do with Christ. He said repentance toward God, and then look what he said. He said, I didn't hold back not only repentance toward God, but faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, he narrowed it down. You mean salvation is only in Jesus? Yes, that's right. He said he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Guess who that was? That was us. He came and died for you. He said, I held nothing back. Listen, remember these Ephesians were former idolaters, all performance-based, all work-oriented people. They sacrificed to the goddess Diana. The truth about salvation today is, listen now, what I'm preaching to you about salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing, that's not very popular today. You know why? Because most of the world doesn't believe that. And let me tell you why. You mean to help you? Let me get just practical with you. Let me help you why most of the world believes in a performance-based salvation. Think about this. Everything you do in life, you have to work for. Everything. And when you go to work, guess what? It's the reason it's called work. At least I hope you're working. But everything we do in life, we have to earn, we have to work, we have to do this. Everything. And then it comes to salvation and God says, no more works. That's the reason when Jesus died, listen, he said, it is finished. It's all done. I've already done all the work. There is no need for any other works. And by the way, the thing about it is, if salvation was works-oriented, would somebody help this ignorant preacher out? If it was works-oriented, when would you ever know that you've ever done enough works to be saved? At what point would I know that I'm saved? Because listen, you know why it's not performance-based? Because if works had anything to do with it, lest any man should boast. And here's what would happen. We'd get saved, we'd stop right there. We'd stop. That's the reason he said, listen, you don't work to be saved, you work because you're saved. Now listen, you know what the apostle said? I held back nothing when it came to salvation. Look at the second thing real quick. Real quick. Look at verse 22. Not only did the apostle not hold back the truth of salvation, but Paul didn't hold back his testimony of his commitment. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Stop. Do you think he had some suspicion this might be the end? Yeah, he kind of figured out, I'm going back to the old stomping grounds. All those old boys I used to hang out with, they're not going to like me very much. But I'm going to go back there and I'm going to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He did, and guess what? It got him arrested. Shipped to Rome, and eventually, listen, folks, he knew this. He knew this. And can I say something right here? If you're a Christian, why are you so afraid of death? Hey, according to the Scripture, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. What's so bad about heaven? Hey, listen, now don't get me wrong. I'm not going out looking for death. You know, it's like the old preacher said one time, if I ever knew the place that I was going to die, I'd never go there, right? But he didn't hold back the testimony of his commitment. He said, save that the Holy Ghost, verse 23, witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But don't you notice, verse, here's the commitment. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with. This guy's still happy after he's gotten his head caved in. After he's been in prison, after he's been scoffed, lied to, mistreated. You know, I've doubt very seriously in Ephesus when Paul stood up and preached, they went, wonderful sermon. You know what they probably walked around? How can we get rid of this jerk? We got to do something to get rid of it. Hey, Demetrius raised and caused literally a city-wide riot because of this guy. He says, but none of these things move me so that I might finish my course with joy in ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, he didn't hold back the truth about salvation, but he also didn't hold back the testimony of his commitment. He said, none of these things move me. Not the first time this is not the first time the apostle was faced with opposition. You know the little kid saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. That was kind of his motto. Because when you go back and read how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned, how many times he was in prison, and he kept saying, perils and perils and perils and perils. Listen, if most of us went through what the Apostle Paul would, we'd have quit Jesus a long time ago. But he said, you know what? I held back nothing. Nothing. He said, you know what? These people are telling me, don't go to Jerusalem, preacher, because if you go to Jerusalem, people are going to talk ugly about you. If you go to Jerusalem, they might throw you in prison. You know what he said? He said, none of these things move me. Because there were some people, I'm sure, trying to talk him out of going there. He said, I can't listen to my friends. He said, listen, this is not my first opposition. This is not the first time people have tried to intimidate me by threats and worldly philosophy. He said, this is not the first time people have tried to sidetrack me with fear tactics. Amazing. People come and they say, well, preacher, you stand up and preach about the immorality going on in the world. Aren't you afraid? Afraid of what? You say, well, they might throw you in jail. Well, let me ask you this. That should not move me. It didn't move the Apostle Paul. And by the way, just think that if they do throw the preacher in jail, some of you will have a jail ministry. Hey, I'm just telling you, what the Apostle Paul preach to these people. It was not popular in their city. And what I'm telling you today is not real popular. But listen, he was not going to hold back his commitment. He said, neither count I my life dear to myself. He said, I'm totally surrendered. I'm dedicated to the cause of Christ. He said, nothing is going to stop me from going to Jerusalem, even if it's the end of my ministry. I like that, don't you? I like that attitude. You know what? Because it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord. It wasn't about building his little Mecca. It wasn't about how many books he's written or how many TV programs he could be on. Listen, if the Apostle Paul lived in 2012, they wouldn't even talk to him about a TV program. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. And he said, none of these things move me. He said, I count my life dear to myself. But notice what he said. He said, so that I may finish my course with joy. Y'all promise me this, would you? If I die before you do, and they take me down to the mortician, make sure that they put a smile on my face. I don't care if he has to stitch it up. You make sure there's a smile on my face, because I'm here to tell you, I'm going to finish my course with joy. I'm going to finish my course happy, excited, even if I spend the rest of my life in a jail cell. It's just the way it's going to be. That way, then one of these other guys can pick up where I left off and they can come join me. Y'all would join me, wouldn't you? He said, I'm going to finish my course with joy, my ministry, testimony of the gospel. He said, I held nothing back when it came to the truth of salvation. I held nothing back when it came to my commitment. Look, if you would, in verse 26, quickly. He said, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He didn't hold anything back from the results of his service. He listened. Most people would read that verse and say, man, that's an arrogant old guy, isn't it? No, he's just telling the truth. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I came into this city. Y'all are idol worshipers. He said, when I got here, I preached Christ crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. He said, people got saved. We've established a church here. And he said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He said, what is he talking about there, preacher? Listen, he told them, listen now, he said, check my record. Go to all the other cities that I've planted church and check my record. You say, what would that be like today? That would be like somebody checking your resume. I wonder what your Christian resume reads. Does it read on there, hasn't passed a track out in 3 years? No, we wouldn't write that down on our resume, no, would we? Only attends church when I feel like it or when I need it. Well, for me, that's every day. Matter of fact, that'd be every day of the week. You see, Paul didn't hold back on the results of his service. He said, I take you to record this day. He told them, check my service record out. He said, you know what you'll find? You'll find a consecrated life. He said, you know what you'll find? You'll find a consistent life. He said, you check my resume out, you'll find a caring life. You say, how much did the Apostle Paul care? Because he sounded like he was an arrogant old rascal. Well, let me tell you what he wrote in the book of Romans chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. He says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Listen, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Yeah, he was hard in his preaching, but you know what he said? He said, if I could give up my soul so that all Israel could be saved, he said, I'd give up my soul for them. I don't know about you, that says does not compute in my brain. I mean, my brain is, smoke's coming out my ears. Why? Because he held back nothing when it came to the results of his service. He said, I'm pure. I've done my best. He said, I have a clean conscience. I can lay my head on my pillow tonight and sleep like a baby. He said, my thumb when I wake up in the morning is all wrinkled because I slept like a baby. He said, I can do that, but you listen. Some of us, we go to bed at night and we're so convicted. We can't sleep. Listen, and so we got big old sacks under our eyes. We go into work and say, man, what's wrong? You look awful. I thought you were a Christian. You're supposed to be happy. I am happy. And listen, if you're a child of God this morning, why are you holding back? Paul said, you know where the joy is? The joy is not holding back. He said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He said, there will be no one No one from Ephesus stand before God and say they didn't hear the gospel because I preached it to every one of you. He said, there'll be no finger pointed at me. There will be no help for them on judgment day. He said, listen, if I'm there on judgment day, folks, I don't know if we will be or not. But he said, nobody's going to point a finger at me. Nobody's going to say, you didn't tell me. He said, in that day, I was here to help you. In that day, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do to help you in that day. You see, Paul is saying that he did his job as a Christian to show, to teach, to testify Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you one more. Look at verse 31. Look at verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember, he said, that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Here's the thing. He said, I didn't hold back on salvation. I didn't hold back on my commitment to Christ. I didn't hold back by displaying to you the results of my service. And here's the last one. He didn't hold back on his warning to them either. He warned them. He said, I cease not to warn you night and day. About what? About, first of all, the importance of feeding on the Word of God. He talked about feeding the flock of God and how important it is for us to feed. You see, listen, folks, when you come to church, this is the dinner table. Listen, Thursday, don't get between a man and the Thanksgiving table. Get hurt that way. When mama says, it's time to eat, don't get between him and that turkey. Now listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, I'm just telling you the truth. We'll belly up to the table Thursday, and we'll rake in everything we can get in. And then when our stomach fills up, we'll fill our jaws up. Hold it for later. My granddaughter has a little hamster. That little hamster, you know, they're hoarders. They need to have a reality show about hamsters or something. But when my wife gets in there and cleans the pen of that hamster, so help me, here's what that hamster does. My wife says, she runs around all over the cage, and you know what she's doing? Digging up and getting all the food. And she packs her mouth with all that food because she's afraid my wife's going to get her food. And listen, they have these little wheels, you know, that the little hamsters jump up on. Thing about it is, we're fixing to be anti-hamster if it runs 2 o'clock in the morning again. But listen, so help me, it was so funny. That hamster's mouth, jaws were so full of food and stuff, it tried to get up on there, it was going. And it would get up on there and hang its feet and go. It couldn't get on there. It had hoarded all that food. You see, listen, this is the church is the dinner table, folks. If all you do is come and eat once a week, you're not going to make it. You're not going to survive. You're going to spiritually starve to death. He said, listen, he talked to him about the importance of feeding on the Word of God. Oh, listen to what else he said. He said, beware of wolves. He said, because they'll come. He said, what do they come in here for? Because they're going to come in. They're evil people with evil intent trying to hurt. Listen, you know what they come in for? Because they're jealous. Because they come in, they see all these people getting converted. And all these people all of a sudden that never smile were smiling. They were going to the marketplace. They were fellowshipping, having a good time. Daddies became daddies. Mamas became mamas. Children became obedient. And listen, things begin to change in their life. He said, but wolves will come in. He said, they're unsaved, they're uncaring people, jealous of your success, jealous of your happiness. He said, they're pretenders. They pretend to be saved, but they're not. And it don't take long to figure out who they are either. Amen. Because the Scripture says, by their fruits you shall know them. Listen, a wolf can only take on a sheep's nature for so long. And then, you know what? It says, you know what? I've gotten myself in such a good place in the church, I'm going to slip out of these sheep clothes and see if anybody recognizes I'm a wolf. You know, I don't know about you. I was born and raised in Mississippi, but I think I can tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf. That's how comfortable they get among the sheep. Here's the last thing. He said, then people are going to come in and be speakers of perverse things. He said, they'll come in, listen to me. He said, they'll criticize the preacher. They'll criticize leadership. They'll criticize the deacons. They'll criticize the budget. They'll criticize this. They'll criticize that. He said they'll be critical of church policy. They may even say they're just a bunch of legalists down there. Well, first of all, before you use that term, you need to go study what that means first before you use that. Because when you say that, many times people use it to their ignorance. But they criticize leadership. They criticize church policy. Then they criticize the Bible. You say, like how? Well, things like, well, that's just your interpretation, preacher. Okay, well then you interpret, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Then you interpret, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You know what the apostle said? He said, I held back nothing. When it came to salvation, I told you the truth. He said, when it came to my personal commitment, I showed you. I didn't just talk it, I walked it. He said, then I tell you, you see these hands? He said, they're pure blood of all men. He said, I told you I didn't hold back anything when it came to service. He said, I've told you commitment. I've told you service. I've told you I held back nothing. He said, then I held back, didn't hold back on my warning either. And can I say this to you as the preacher of the gospel of Christ? Here's my warning. Jesus is coming back. Amen. You're either going to be ready or not ready. And you and I, when we face that thrice holy God, will be judged according to the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. Let me leave you with this. Then what are you holding back for? If this morning, if you need Jesus Christ, what are you holding back? You say, well I'm just not ready. Well, when are you going to be ready? Because if you die between now and the next gospel presentation you get, it's too late then. Don't hold back. If you need to be saved, you come this morning. If you're already saved and never been baptized, what are you holding back for? Don't hold back. Come do the right thing. If you need a church home and a place to serve God, what are you waiting on? Don't hold back. If the Spirit of God is speaking, today is the day. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. No question about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high. So I'm not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of being a Christian. That's me. Slip it up high. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up everywhere. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, almost every hand was raised this morning. What a great testimony that is. Which tells me, Lord, that if the rapture, if the sound of the trump, the voice of the archangel shouted this morning, looked like probably about 99% of the people here would meet you in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But my prayer is, Father, there seem to be one or two that could not raise their hand, and I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want them to know Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that this morning that You'd move in their heart. Father, there's no reason for them to hold back. This could be the last opportunity they have. Whatever the case may be this morning, please, please, would You move, Holy Spirit, in a wonderful way. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask a few more questions. I wonder if there might be one or two here this morning and say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right where I said, I can't honestly say that heaven's my home. It's not that I don't want to die and go to hell, preacher. It's just that I just don't know. No one's ever taken the Bible and explained to me exactly what I need to do to be saved. Or maybe you're confused on the matter. And you say, preacher, would you pray for me? Nobody's looking but me. I want to pray for you. You say, I'm just unsure about that matter of salvation. And you'd let me pray for you. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. You can slip it right back down. Doesn't matter, man, boy, child, God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join this one? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died to go to heaven. Pray for me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. There's two more. Who will join these three? Say, preacher, that's me. Listen, don't hold back. What are you holding back for? God sent you to church this morning. He's convicting you. This is your opportunity. You say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's five right there. What are you waiting? Don't wait. Don't wait. This could be it. Anybody else will join these five? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I die to go to heaven. We're talking about your soul. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, then let me ask you this. If you're here this morning and you're already saved, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you've never been baptized after you got saved, you know it's the right thing to do. Maybe somebody explain that that's what you need to do. Not to be baptized to be saved, but to be baptized because you're saved as a testimony and witness of Christ. And you say, preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you and you and you and you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Anybody will join these four? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. God bless you. There's a fifth one right there. You say, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. It's the right thing to do. Anybody else? Then one last thing. How many, or this morning you'd say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but there's some areas in my life I've been holding back on. Maybe it's your witness. Maybe it's your testimony. Maybe it's your commitment for Christ. You said, I've been holding back. Would you pray that God will give me strength? I want to serve God. I want to be a good witness. I don't want to just talk the talk, preacher. I want to walk the walk. You say, preacher, please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up. I said, that's me. That's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is yours. And we realize, Lord, that what you have spoken this morning is truth. And what you have told us from the Word of God is truth. And Lord, as a child of God, we don't want to hold back. And yet there are some this morning, Father, that know not Christ. I think five or six raised their hand and said they did not know the Lord. But today, Lord, they can. Don't let them hold back. This could be it. This could be the last invitation, last service they'll ever attend. Let today be the day of their salvation. Some need to be baptized. About five raised their hands, said they needed to be baptized. And let today be that day that they'll step out by faith and do the right thing and not hold back, but be obedient to the Word of God. And then, Father, some this morning are holding back on their Christianity. They're holding back on their witness. They're holding back in some areas of their life. Would you please motivate them today to come gather around this altar and recommit themselves, rededicate themselves to the call of Jesus Christ in their life. Thank you, Lord, for what our ears have heard, what we've experienced this morning. The Spirit of God, move as you see fit now in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you join me and let's stand to our feet? I'm going to ask the piano and instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask our musician to begin to sing. Listen, this is your call. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. What are you waiting for? This could be it. If you raised your hand and said, preacher, I need to be saved. Come on, we'll have someone show you how to be saved. You're here this morning and say, preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. What are you waiting for? What are you holding back for? Come on. Come on. Some of you need a church home. What are you waiting for? Some of you this morning would say, preacher, I'm holding back on some area of my Christianity. What are you waiting for? Come on. Come on, we'll help you. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady deal with you. If you're a man, we'll have a man deal with you. Listen, this is your opportunity. Oh, so many have come. Some have come to be saved. Some have come to be baptized. Some have come for God to do a work in their heart and their spirit this morning. I've waited.